Follow the order of worship of divine service 4, page 203, and printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us.
Forgive us our sins,
and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
From this time forth and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations,
and his glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high,
who looks far down on the heavens and the earth.
He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap,
to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people.
He gives a barren woman a home,
making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Amen. with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your church in your perpetual mercy, because without you we cannot but fall. Preserve us from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated. I will bring this out at the time of the sermon, but as we're listening and reading along and listening to the readings, the three readings, note how each one of them talks about our lives as Christians, focuses on different aspects of our lives, but always talks about our lives as Christians and living as God's people. The Old Testament reading is from Amos chapter 8, starting at verse 4. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia in verse.
Alleluia. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and he who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Gift may be all that we have is thine own.
The sermon will think on and reflect on all three readings from the Old Testament, the Epistle, and the Gospel reading. One summary statement that one might think about in considering these passages is from the Gospel reading, Luke 16, verse 10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. These are the three readings for this Sunday. And when I begin considering these readings, this is a handful. There's a lot of topics in these three readings. We see that the constant temptation that we face, even though we have God's word with us, and we know what it says a lot, if we are Christians and we've been going to church or Bible study a lot, we've heard his word a lot, and yet the constant temptation is that we would look around us and not listen to God's word, but see what the world is doing in many ways. Whether it's cheating one another, taking advantage of people who are in need, that's one thing the world does. Or whether it's behaving in ways that make you appear strong and powerful and argumentative and angry rather than peaceful and praying. Or whether what we're said is you should become glamorous and desirable and have a lot of people jealous of how you look rather than faithful, full of good deeds. Or you fix for yourself what has sometimes a nickname, a golden parachute. You know you're going to be fired, so you set up a policy in which you will be fired and still get to be very rich. That's what the manager did, the shrewdful manager. Very quickly, I summarized all three readings. In Amos, God is concerned with people who are taking advantage of the needy and not taking care of the poor and in their hard situation, but actually taking advantage of them. And that's one thing that people will do, and sometimes we're tempted to do. But you might just say, Amos says, take care of the needy. They need your help. Don't take advantage of them. St. Paul's writing to Timothy, and this is from what's often called the pastoral epistles from 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Because both Titus and Timothy were overseeing pastors of the area, and St. Paul in these three letters is writing to Timothy and to Titus and saying, in these congregations, in the pastors' lives, in the congregations' lives, these are things you should be thinking about. And Paul says, one thing you should be doing is praying. And you should be praying for all people. Prayers for all. He says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving may be made for all people, for kings and all who are in positions, high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. He's saying this to the pastors to the Christian congregations under the purview of Titus and Timothy here. This is how your people, your congregations should be behaving when they meet and join together, be praying for everybody. Everybody. So somehow there would be peace. There would be opportunities for the gospel. For he says there, this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All people. He means all. Even the ones we think shouldn't be saved. But he wants all to come to know Jesus Christ, repent, be forgiven, and be saved. That he wants that to be the attitude of these new congregations that Timothy is overseeing. And then he gives instructions on worship. And this is what he's talking about, really, in this whole chapter. But think about this, where he says in verses 8 and 9, I desire then, that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. It's taken in our culture many times to be masculine, to be successful as a man. You must be strong, you must be hard-hearted, you must be argumentative, you must behave in a certain way to overcome your opponent. That's not what he says here. And then in verse 9, he says, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but what is proper for women who profess godliness. This is a key thing here. The women who believe and with good works. I have there a couple blanks. Men should be peaceful and praying, and women have beauty of faith and deeds. When we look about us, and it was the people at that time too, when Paul writes, and the people in the Old Testament, and since that time in our day, ideas of how to become successful or popular are given in the culture. And so often, it's not what God says is his design and his purpose. He gives life. He gives growth. That is the character of God. So he encourages men who are giving life and pray for others and help others. And women who are full of faith and good deeds. Those are the things that God is looking for. He's very specific here. He would have men to preach and lead worship. And then he brings in, he wants women to learn quietly and submissiveness. But I have, since I've been about 10 years old, I have thought on this passage. And maybe you have too. And some of the other passages where he talks about men and women. And it's helpful for me to remember how God, and Paul brings it in here and other places too, and Jesus brings it in too, to think about how God created Adam and Eve. How did God want it to be? And we have to look at Scripture to understand this. For if a person doesn't even believe that there was an Adam and Eve and believes in some kind of evolution and who knows, these are just myths, then that kind of thinking cannot understand God's way of thinking at all. It's not even possible. But if this is true, if the truth is that he created Adam and he formed Eve out of his side, then what was that relationship between Adam and Eve? And how did God form them to be as a couple and as the first mother and father of all the living? Think about that. And then think about what Satan tempted them to do in the fall in Genesis chapter 3. The old King James translation for Eve, that she was a helpmeet, is very helpful for us to think about. She was a helper. She completed Adam. She was a part of Adam. And Adam recognized that, bone by bone and flesh by flesh. But what happened in that temptation and fall? Eve tempted and led Adam away from God. Just the reverse of what God created her to be. And we think about that. We think about then our roles as men and women, husbands and wives. In a Christian marriage, the spouse is supposed to help the other be faithful, to help the husband be a man of God, to help the wife be a woman of God. That is God's intention. And things that would take us away from that design, which the world would take us away a lot, but anything that takes us away from that design hinders us, and we're not serving one another anymore. This text is very important. I could spend a lot of time, and it needs study. But it's good for us to see that the foundational part of creation is that we are supposed to be helpers and to serve one another. And if we get away from that, then we're getting away from God's design. We're entering into sin. Now, Jesus told a parable in which a guy was very clever how to help himself. The manager who was cheating, Jesus designed the parable so that the manager who was cheating actually set up, which I mentioned, a golden parachute. So that how will people still receive me when I get fired because I've been cheating? How will people still like me? If I tell them before I'm fired that you owe 80, not 100, and you owe this, not this, they'll be thankful to me. And they will save me favorably. And Jesus says, men and people in this world, they're smarter in those ways. But one of the things he's pointing his disciples to look at is whatever you have been given charge over, be faithful. Whoever's faithful in a little is faithful in a lot. If we're in charge over teaching somebody, if we're in charge of, we have a part of a marriage, we're a spouse in a marriage, if we're given charge of things at work, if we're given charge of responsibilities at church, if we're given charge of responsibilities in the community, you name it, you can think of different situations, to be faithful in that, to realize then it's not me who has gained that. God has given that for me to do. And I need to be faithful in that, not so I can be a good person or earn righteousness or good works, but that I am faithful to God. And that's part of the great fall, great curse of the fall. The husband and wife so often, outside the Christian faith, they will use one another or think they own the other, one way or the other, instead of, in the Christian faith, their gifts to one another. And so, of course, I want this gift to flourish and be a person, a man or woman of God. If we're not faithful in our marriage, why would he give us responsibility in other things? If we're not faithful at work, why should we be given more? If we're not faithful in bringing up our family, why would he increase it all the more? These are gifts from God to which we are called to serve, not to take advantage of, like Amos warned about, not to go outside and to think of success as the world thinks of success or power, but to live as men and women of God, as Paul writes Timothy, and to be faithful in whatever we're given to do. And so God calls us to see what he's given us, calls us to look at his word, to believe that, to see his design for us. God knows far better than you or me what is going on in the world. He sees every corner. He sees into every country. He sees into every error. He sees into every single sin and disaster. He knows. So God calls us not to look around to all those confusing and terrible things, but to look to his word, how to live as his son, how to live as his daughter. There we will know. And Jesus, he calls us to be faithful to whatever we're given in life. Be faithful in that. Dear Father in heaven, forgive us when we are not faithful. Forgive us when we take advantage, or we think of ourselves, or we go outside the directions of your word. Help us and teach us to see things your way, rightly in our lives. Help us to resist the devil and the world's wrong teachings, but to hear your teachings. Help us to know that we are owned by you. You have created us. You have redeemed us. You have sanctified us. We are yours. Help us to know that, believe it, and live like it. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We sing two verses of Hear Us, Father, when we pray, hymn 773. On the second verse, the offering may be brought forward. Congregation is invited to stand. We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church, printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all baptized children of God, that they would be freed from obsession with the goods of this world, and set their hearts on the joys of the kingdom and the inheritance that never fades, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors, that they may be righteous stewards who dispense God's gifts in wisdom and abundance, and for all of God's people, that they would make proper use of his means of grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For men and women, that they would rejoice in the callings and responsibilities that God has given to them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For fellow citizens serving in law enforcement, firefighting, emergency and rescue crews, medical care, military service, education, food production, trades and manufacturing, that they may be strengthened and protected in all their activities, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For President Biden, Governor DeWine, and all whom God has placed in high positions, that they may act with wisdom and mercy, and we may lead peaceable and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and those who suffer, for those troubled in mind, for the grieving in their sorrows, and for the dying in their last hours, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Carlin and Bill, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Carlene, Grace, Sue and Steve, Rick and Jim, Brandy, Maverick, Pastor Nauman, Pastor Shawi, and District President Kevin Wilson. That the Lord would grant them the comfort in his presence, relief according to his will, and peace in their hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who receive the Lord's Supper, that Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for many, would give us forgiveness of sins through his body and blood, and grant us unity in faith and hearts eager for his life and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the foes of God who forget his word, that God would call them to repentance and faith, so that they would also rejoice in his righteousness and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray together. We give thanks to you, O Lord, for you have forgiven our debt of sin for the sake of Jesus. Preserve us in his grace and life until that day when you gather us to be among the saints in glory around your throne. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good and right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God.
We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Savior Jesus Christ, and strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Please stand for the general dismissal. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
All glory to the Father, all glory to all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning, is now, shall ever be, God's triune
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
One.